Vitalis with Open My Eyes to the World. Welcome to tonight's program of Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. The program Let's Find Out is about the union of science, spirituality, and the ultimate raising of human consciousness. Let's Find Out brings you knowledge and inspiration of your inner divine temple. The universe is expanding, and we must join in, because that's what cures and that's what higher learning is all about. There's a new wave of illumination flowing onto the planet and throughout the planet Earth. The BBS radio station is dedicated to bringing this information to the world in various ways. There are many programs and subjects on BBS radio, as there are culture and languages. There is a team of tireless people producing and editing programs to bring you viewpoints of how to grow within and develop the strength in your body and your own spirituality. This brings new understanding, expansion, new programs, awareness on how to improve your life, and messages from the unknowns. If spirituality can be considered a movement, then the Let's Find Out program is one that shares the most talked about of topics. Perhaps this is because it has the power to be a conduit for self-definition, born with an inner longing to cultivate a purposeful life and establish a deeper connection to the universe. The ultimate desire of human consciousness is to connect with your blessed higher self. This is going to become more and more apparent as we travel through 2018 and 2019. This wave of new energy, the double helix that came to us in 2012, has a purpose, and it helps you to manage your emotional body. Meditation is key and strengthens and guides us to be able to give just a little bit more. Take the time. Be sure to listen to your favorite shows on BBS Radio. Who can predict the energy and triumphs that will come and the joy that is felt as the heart opens and expands? When you are desperate, empty, in despair, and fatigued, reach out to Elizabeth Joyce and Let's Find Out for strength, goodwill, cooperation, and kindness. Many of your questions will be answered here. Let's Find Out is a program that does exactly what it says. It finds out. Please write to me or email me with your questions and interests on spiritual growth and the workings of the universe. Somehow, some way, and through someone, we will find your answers. This program is about you. The archives are full of infinite material. If you have missed this show in its entirety, or any other show on BBS Radio, you can catch up during the week by accessing the archives. Share with the kindred spirits who are journeying along with you on how they pursue higher levels of consciousness through light, energy, chakras, angels, reincarnation, prophecies, alternative medicine, spiritual retreats, and much, much more. And unlike religion, spirituality allows for interpretation, your third eye awakening, and manifesting of a calmness that comes from spending time with your loved ones and sharing with others. So let's begin by listening to tonight's program with Elizabeth Joyce. Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. And we just listened to William Vitalis singing Open My Heart to the World. We're all going to be wanting to open our hearts to the world as we continue through 2018. It will be a year to be remembered, along with 2001. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about our children. Since the Columbine attacks in 1999, the threat to our children in this country has become progressively worse. School shootings, such as the one that we just saw that killed 17 in Florida, and terror attacks, both involve killing large numbers of innocent people. To parents who have lost a child, whatever motive is used by the killer will never matter to the parents. To those seeking to understand horrific events and figure out how to prevent them, motive matters quite a bit. Groups that research terrorism have frequently argued that what separates school shootings from terrorist attacks is that the terrorism is motivated by ideology, whereas the school shootings are, while abhorrent, apolitical. They happen from an emotional response, not what's happening in the world around them. We have therefore treated them as a separate category or event requiring very different responses. We stand by the basic distinction that if we want a violence-free world, which is our desire, and it seems like perhaps a very distant and unbelievable goal, it's worth investigating similarities to see if there are common root causes at play. Natural law says that if you can find the root cause, you can remove the problem completely. Why would a person choose to do something like this? Why would a teenager or younger child or even a young man in his 20s want to go into a school and shoot it up? With that in mind, here are some similarities between mass shootings and terrorist attacks, with tentative analysis as to how these factors could be tackled. People are murdered in very similar ways. Starting with the most obvious similarity, people are murdered. They are murdered with a sophisticated weapon in a precise and systematic way. Indeed, the attacks look so similar in methodology that in cases such as the Vegas shooting, for the first several hours, nobody knew if the shooting was an Islamic terrorist attack or a non-ideological mass shooting. We still don't know gunman Stephen Paddock's true motive. Compare those attacks to the shooting of the Plush nightclub in Orlando, Florida, which was an act of terrorism carried out with the same methodology as a school shooting. Terrorism does not take place in a vacuum, and both terrorists and mass shooters learn from each other on how to inflict a maximum carnage. It seems likely, therefore, that reducing different kinds of violence would have a knock-on effect by lowering the amount of potential inspiration for such acts. Notoriety plays a role. Contemporary culture is a media-driven culture. Anyone who commits a mass shooting of any kind is aware that the fame and attention will be poured on those who commit these acts of mass violence. Someone using the name Nicholas Cruz, the name of the perpetrator of the latest shooting, posted a 2017 YouTube comment, "I'm going to be a professional school shooter." After the Florida attack, threats of copycat shootings by school students across the country led to multiple arrests. As a result of this notoriety factor, in 2015, 70 families of school shooting victims asked media outlets not to use the name of the school shooters when reporting attacks, calling on them to recognize that the prospect of infamy could serve as a motivating factor for other individuals to kill and could inspire copycat crimes. Psychologists have also argued that a desire for infamy can motivate terrorists as well. The awareness of this phenomenon led many people to lash out against the Rolling Stones magazine when the publication put Boston bomber Dokart Tarsany on a magazine cover in a glamorous pose. Toxic masculinity is the most precise and useful understanding of the term, does not mean masculinity in general. It is contrasted with healthy or positive masculinity, which can be a tremendous force for the good. However, they have a point. The vast majority of mass shootings, like the vast majority of terrorist attacks, are perpetrated by men. Santa Barbara killer Elliot Rogers wrote an entire 130-page manifesto aimed viciously at women and their refusal to have sex with him. It seemed unlikely that the most recent shooter's decision to strike on Valentine's Day was a coincidence. Meanwhile, consider the promised rewards for Islamic terrorists in paradise? 72 virgins and an eternity of debauchery and bliss? ISIS offers recruits the chance to take sex slaves and rule over their wives. As Time magazine, like many other magazines, has argued, young men are facing a masculinity crisis. Men who are losing in the modern world can, in their rage and frustration, turn to violence as a slave. Supporting positive and emotionally healthy visions of what it means to be a man, together with a framework for community, meaning, and personal, could be effective in dissuading potential shooters long before they begin the path to mass murder. After reading with horror the case of the California couple accused of torture and children endangerment, I feel it would only be a matter of time before this could happen in other families. Attention would soon turn away from the aristocrats David and Louise Turpia, allegedly committed against their own 13 children. It would turn towards blanket policies that restrict innocent people in an attempt to legislate away evil. In this case, the focus is on homeschooling, because the Turpins were homeschooling 6 of their 13 children from ages 2 to 29. A California bill proposed on February 16 would require city and country fire departments to conduct annual inspections of all registered home schools in their area. Hawaii State Senate Bill 2323 would have run background checks on homeschooling parents, was withdrawn by the senators after extreme opposition to that idea. In New Hampshire, House Bill 1263 would require parents to report their homeschool child's annual evolution to the educational official. The New Hampshire House Bill would require parents to report their homeschool child's annual evaluation to the educational official. The official would determine if the child had made adequate progress during the year. If not, parents would have 1 year to fix the problem or risk a hearing to end the homeschool program. In addition, organizations such as California for the Responsible Home Education advocate for additional oversight for homeschooling families. The organization cites horrible abuse cases of homeschooled children as their motivation. We seek not to penalize parents who are homeschooling responsibly, but rather to provide a measure of common sense accountability to protect and support children in abusive or neglectful homeschool environments. Our child's freedom of education should not come to the cost of other children's futures. The argument in favor of these bills is that homeschooled children who could be isolated in a way that children who are in the public school system cannot be. Abusive or neglected parents could use this isolation as a cover. They would never have to worry about a teacher seeing bruises or signs of malnutrition in their child. Those who support the state is necessary to check up on children who are homeschooled. The state must make sure they are not being abused, or in case of the New Hampshire bill, that their education is up to snuff. This argument sets up a dichotomy between two contrasting positions. The first espouses that these bills and the CHRE is that the child belongs to the state first. A parent must petition the state for the privilege to educate their child. Very thing. Giving more control to the state will solve problems and help children. Is that not over-governmenting? The other position is that the state's involvement is both negative and immoral. Children's well-being should be at the responsibility of the parents. The parents are innocent of abuse and neglect until they actually do abuse and neglect, and most parents do not. Adding restrictions onto all families that homeschool their children will lead to more harm than good. Moreover, it's a power that the state just should not have. Here's why homeschool regulation is a bad idea. Often when politicians or other interest groups want to pass legislation, they want to call their policies common sense measures. This implies that they are policies that any reasonable person would agree to. In fact, but those advocating measures still put their faith in the state to solve the problem. They believe the state must put restrictions on the innocent and law-abiding people to make it harder and more difficult for evil people to do evil. This becomes a problem, spiritual as well as practical. A society in which laws cater to the lowest common denominator of humanity is tyrannical and becomes a soul-crushing society. Bills that seek to enter a family's home or screen children annually would make homeschooling a pre-crime. This is an action in which no one has actually been harmed, but still legally justifies intervention because it could lead to a crime. But no common sense measure inflicted on me as a homeschooling parent would stop child abuse. This goes for thousands of other homeschooling parents treating their children well, because we are not the bad guys. If you homeschool your children but don't torture or neglect them, then you do not have a problem. Wanting to educate your kids at home does not make you responsible for the evils that others perpetrate while they homeschool. This should be obvious. But there is a pervasive reasoning about why bad things happen, not because the evil person is evil, but because good people can be selfish. If you would stop being so selfish and give up your rights a little bit, it would be harder for the evil people to be evil. A statement like this is never said outright, but it shifts the blame from the individual who did the wrong thing to the individuals who want to continue to do their own thing unharassed. Homeschool regulation is like gun control. There are so many similarities to gun control arguments in these recent attacks on homeschooling. In both cases, individuals want to exercise a right for the sake of themselves and their family. Then, some crazed or evil people abuse the same freedom. In the case of homeschooling, they abuse their kids. In the case of guns, they shoot innocent people. Suddenly, people imply that law-abiding homeschoolers and gun owners are somehow to blame for the crimes of other individuals who happen to be homeschooled or own guns. Then the common sense nonsense starts. Why are law-abiding people rejecting common sense laws? Don't you care about gun violence? Don't you care about child abuse? Yes, I care about child abuse. After any story like the Turpin case breaks, I always drive down the streets of my town with a little more suspicion. These pretty colonial houses are hiding an abuser. Is there a child right now in a house that's being beaten, starved, locked in a closet? Will they be rescued someday? Will the whole town be shocked because they seem to be such a normal family? These are the questions that haunt me at night. It's painful to think of the suffering that these people are capable of inflicting on each other, particularly on children. But no policy could eradicate abuse without eradicating our rights to privacy, property, and our role as first educators to our children. But if it just saves one child? Another common argument suggests that any positive benefit of a law is worth it, regardless of the negative aspect of the law. This argument is found in statements like, if it saves just one child, then we have an obligation to ban Tide Pods, prosecute parents who leave a child in a car for 1 minute, take soda off the kids' menu, conduct inspections of homes before parents can teach their kids. This is bad policy, built on emotion rather than practicality.
If we're going to go all Unitarian about it, then saving just one child isn't good enough. The law must save more children than it harms, and then the harm must be qualified. Everything is unsafe to some degree. So the logical conclusion of the just one child argument is that the government should ban everything. Getting rid of swimming pools, cars, and alcohol would save children's lives. This is easy for people to say when they will gladly give up their rights for the sake of another's safety if the issue doesn't affect them. But to enforce this policy unilaterally, people would see restrictions on so many rights that no one would be able to function. At some point, we would have to say that no, saving one child is not worth the restriction on our freedom. Right now, it's the homeschooler's turn to reject these particular infringements on our freedom. So the innocents have nothing to fear? If I'm such an upright homeschooling parent, then what is the big deal? Do I have something to hide? Why not let the government inspector visit my home, interview my children, and tell me they have made adequate progress with their academics? To put it bluntly, because I shouldn't have to, the onus should be on me to prove my innocence or competence. That should be the default. Instead, the state should have to prove a person's guilt before restricting them, suggesting that people who don't accept violations of their freedom and privacy must have something to hide is a false dichotomy. It ignores the fact that often people without anything to hide still have a right and a desire for privacy. And of course, sometimes the innocents do have something to fear. Homeschooling is often the crosshairs of public policy. The government has not done much to inspire confidence in homeschooling, considering the following. Lawmakers killed the legislation that would allow parents to use money in savings plans for their homeschooling expenses, although the effort is being revived. West Virginia congressman denied homeschooled children the chance to try out for public school sports teams. The National Education Association, the major union of public school teachers, pulls no punches when it states its position on homeschooling. In the 2016-17 handbook, Resolution B82 says, the National Education Association believes that homeschooling programs based on parental choices cannot provide the students with a comprehensive education experience. The New Hampshire bill was proposed at the request of Corinne Kaskadian, superintendent of the school district in Berlin. According to the Concord Monitor, Kaskadian said the number of children in Berlin being homeschooled has ballooned since 2012. When lawmakers rolled back most homeschool oversights, the Kaskadian feared that some homeschool children were not getting an education at all. But then again, students attending the local public high schools aren't actually thriving either. Many of them are afraid to even go to school because they might come to harm. According to the U.S. News and World Report, Berlin high school students scored well below the state average on statewide assessments. English and math proficiency was 55% and 21%, respectively. Perhaps Kaskadian is angry that her failing school is losing funds. The parents are taking their children out of mid-school and high school, and they're keeping them home to homeschool. My cousin, who lives in Warner, New Hampshire, homeschooled her daughter after her daughter suffered from harassment from the other students. Her daughter is not only beautiful, polite, and lovely, but she's doing very well in her world, in her mid-30s at this time. In contrast to the special interest groups and politicians that have been mentioned in this broadcast, I truly believe that people are looking out for a child's best interest. The CHRE was founded by homeschoolers who in many cases had horrible childhoods full of coercion, violence, and power-hungry parents. They want to stop the same fate from befalling any more of their children. Unfortunately, their solution is to place more power in the hands of a government that is just as coercive, violent, and power-hungry as their parents were. Children in public schools are not immune from abuse from their parents, nor are they always safe from the teachers and students in the schools themselves. Remember the word harassment? Think about all the Facebook problems that many teens have. Recent cases in Oklahoma, Indiana, California, and Texas attest to that sitting in their gun-free classrooms, students are sitting ducks for school shootings. They are also the subject of all sorts of restrictions on their freedom. They are forced to consume and regurgitate curated information deemed important by the state. Some of it is false propaganda. Public schools are a better choice for those children trapped in abusive homes, but they are not an escape from coercion or misinformation. Let me go back to when I was young. I remember this. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I also remember this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses and those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. What happened? Why are we trading that Pledge of Allegiance and Lord's Prayer for guns and teachers to carry? It's time for our break, and I'd like you to listen to these messages, and then we'll be back with a closing about our wonderful children and perhaps some things that we can do after this. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and now it's time for your weekly cosmic tip. Listen carefully. There's a lot happening this week. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing, week of March 5th through March 11th, 2018. Well, this is a week of change that begins now and continues through the rest of 2018. Expansive Jupiter turns retrograde on the 8th in Scorpio and continues to move backwards until July 10th. Consolidate any projects or activities that have been going on since last October of 2017 and do some behind-the-scenes planning for future projects. Jupiter rules your belief system, so look within to see where you may be holding yourself back from a larger worldview and expansion of projects that require you to take a risk. Both Mercury and Venus change signs this week, and daylight savings time begins on Saturday, Sunday night. Benefits and opportunities are also in the mix with a rare Mars-Uranus trine. On Monday evening, mental Mercury moves into Aries until Mother's Day, May 13th. This is a very long time due to the coming Mercury retrograde cycle on the 22nd, making it a 10-week span instead of the normal 3 weeks. Improve your exercise program in the weeks ahead. Venus also moves into Aries on the 6th through the end of March. This is an uncomfortable sign for Venus as she wants relationships and Aries always wants independence. Venus in Aries makes for an uncomfortable love life as well as difficulty with relationships. The goddess of love in a fire sign, especially childlike Aries, likes to throw its weight around. Careful now. Be willing to pioneer a new path in existing relationships or in seeking new relationships. Find a good balance between your sharing needs and your individual needs. It's time to go within and allow yourself to be guided by your blessed higher self. I suggest you read Flying with My Higher Self by Robert Maldonado. It's on Amazon.com. Beginning Wednesday afternoon through late afternoon Friday, the moon will be traveling through Sagittarius,
It's a great time to share your big ideas in an enthusiastic way. Sagittarius likes a party or a philosophical conversation. Saturday has a more serious tone under a pragmatic Capricorn moon. Mercury makes a challenging square to Saturn in the evening just before we turn our clocks ahead. Avoid rigid boundaries in your conversations. It would be wise to postpone any difficult conversations. Many people will simply go to bed early on Saturday night because we lose an hour's sleep. It would not be a surprise if your early morning sleep is disrupted on Sunday, and not just because of the change to daylight savings time. Athletic Mars makes a harmonious trine to Uranus, suggesting that you get up and do something energetic that's beyond your normal routine. Since Mars rules exercise, perhaps you could go out for a hike instead of to the gym. Just something to feel like you're breaking free of your normal routine. After all, spring arrives on March 21st. And now let's get back to tonight's program, Let's Find Out, on bbsradio.com with Elizabeth Joyce.
This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I wanted to let everyone know that my new book, a memoir called Unlimited Realities, is now available on Amazon.com. It just got released from the publisher this week. This memoir is the life of a gifted seer and healer, how a woman transcends from pain and sorrow as destiny taps her on the shoulder. Rather than just shrugging off her problems, she began to gaze inward and upward. She became spiritually awakened and floated above her body, gaining wisdom and knowledge. When I was 8, I became ill with a touch of TB. We lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, but Mother had grown up in Warner, New Hampshire, where her mother and family still lived. I was shipped up to Grandma's to live for a year, which was the beginning of saving my soul as well as my life. When Dick Clark was with us, he reviewed the American Bandstand chapter of Unlimited Realities and absolutely loved it. He said that Unlimited Realities would make a great read. So order yours now at Amazon.com, or you can order it from my website, www.new-visions.com. Don't miss this one. It is a great read and shows you a lot about now as well as the hereafter and what happens to us after we pass from this earth plane. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out.
Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul by Elizabeth Joyce is a perfect holiday gift for Christmas or for any other holiday. This book, Garden, as Elizabeth calls it, and it's one of her favorites, talks about the invisible energy known as Shakti, Chi, the Holy Ghost, is not a time or a thing, but the underlying nature order of the universe, whose ultimate essence is difficult to hold or to understand. The object of spiritual practice is to become one with these energies, to become a tunnel, to become a download effect, or by whatever you choose to call them. To achieve this type of balance is known as the state of being. This book, penned by Elizabeth Joyce, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, is an experience of compassion. It's a desire to help others with these troubling times, through light and love shining through the darkness, and to bring love and light to all those who read the words. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is not a fluffy, feel-good book. It is a well-written, practical guide exploring the groundbreaking philosophy of truly transforming your life. If you are serious about creating change, embracing your birthright with enthusiasm and grace, and creating your very own infinite possibilities, then this book is for you. With all the religious teachers, books, and masters of philosophy, we learn soon that they are one and the same. Spiritual practice is to become one with the soul and harmonize your inner nature in order to achieve that which you have been born to do. When you are walking your path, you innately know this because it becomes effortless. You think about it, you talk about it, you plan it, and you do it. This always involves meditation and the practice of moral practices. This book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, brings the principles which can be discerned by observing nature and can be followed as a practice. Your impact and connection to this energy force brings you a force field containing unlimited possibilities. However you practice it and use it is up to each and one individual soul. This book contains the natural laws of the universe, which will help to open your heart and guide you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is available at Amazon.com and at Elizabeth's website, www.new-visions.com. Pick it up, and you'll keep it by your bedside forever. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out. It's a live internet radio show on bbsradio.com at Station 2. We discuss holistic health modalities, ESP, psychic services, New Age books, and much, much more. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize an over 6,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products, to promote yourself and your website and gain credibility. You will love this. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long, and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and your talents any way you please. We will create a list of 15 questions or more that I will ask you during the show to focus on that which you want to promote. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We are on Sunday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. My email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking air dates between February and May of 2018. Thank you for your consideration.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, and honored guests come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471. In the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Bless the beasts and the children, for in this world they have no voice. They have no choice. Bless the beasts and the children, for the world can never be. Light their way when the darkness surrounds them. Give them love and let it shine. all around them. Bless the beasts and the children, give them shelter from the storm. Keep them safe, keep them warm. Light their way when the darkness surrounds them. Give them love, let it shine all around them. Bless the beasts and the children, give them shelter from the storm. Keep them safe and keep them warm.
Welcome back to Let's Find Out. That was Perry Como singing Bless the Beasts and the Children. And now it's time for us to begin our closing for tonight's program and to perhaps give some thinking to what the subject is at hand. Our children, their safety, and balance in their lives is our future. The history of the universe is a huge and ongoing process. It's ever unfolding as we grope and grow to the glory of oneness. We have discovered that false beliefs have limited us in the past from enjoying optimum health, reversing disease, and creating loving, lasting relationships. This universe is a giant computer, and humans write the programming with their thoughts, their beliefs, and their actions, creating their own reality. Ascend as you uncover those thoughts that bring peace, love, and harmony into your life and into your family as a gift to each one of your blessed children, as well as to the community and the world. Our children impact and connect to an energy force that will bring them continuing and marvelous unlimited possibilities. How each one of us uses the privilege of teaching our children and what to teach them is individual. So I'm going to wrap up with these thoughts. We should reject the idea that the state must police homeschoolers, but then homeschoolers have a great responsibility to do the right thing. This is how we can have a free society. If you suspect someone is abusing his or her children, do whatever you can to stop them. Cases of abuse could be handled in a voluntary society, but currently it's probably necessary to get the police involved. Reporting a probable abuser is completely different than supporting a law that requires pre-approval of homeschooling. In the case of abuse, the parents give up their right to homeschool unhindered when they are aggressed upon their children. In the case of abuse, the parents have to give up their right to homeschool, which will be unhindered when they are aggressive with their children. Finally, if you're homeschooling your children, if you are a parent at all, you should be teaching your children excellently. It should go without saying that children deserve adequate food and shelter, but it should go well beyond that. Parents owe
to their children a life of joy, happiness, playfulness, study, and autonomy. When it comes to their education, give them input into what to study and how to spend their time. Don't seek to be as restrictive as a public school. Rather, bask in the freedom that homeschooling can give you and your kids so much value, so much education, and a closeness that can never be broken. I do think that homeschooling will become prevalent. I think that we're going to have the streets filled with teenagers refusing to go to school, refusing to put themselves in harm's way, as all of this seems to be escalating beyond our control. Somewhere there's a lesson here. I'm not really happy about what it seems to be implying, but we have to get a hold of our emotions, our integrity, our drug use, our gun use, and what we show to these small, innocent minds that have been given to us through the power of the divine. Next week, Sharon, our new pneumology lady, comes back, and we'll be able to have some fun knowing names and how they affect us. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and I'd like you to write me about some of your thoughts as to how we can begin to prevent some of this violence, some of this unnecessary hate, rage, and anger that seems to prevail every once in a while in our country. Remember this. Mental illness is a worldwide disease. It is not individual. It is not the problem. Japan doesn't have killings in their schools. They don't even carry guns. Nor does China or Russia or India or England or any of the other foreign countries. This problem is unique to this country. And somehow, some way, with the help of the divine, as well as the help of others, it must be stopped and ended. As we go into our meditation, let's pray that we can all be a part of healing this wretchedness, this cruelty, and upset and imbalance that seems to be prevailing in our country at this time. We can do it. You know we can. We can all join together while keeping our freedom and help our children to grow into their world, their life, and their love. Now let's get ready for the meditation. We're going to hear a wonderful song by William Vitalis called Heaven Has Overflowed. Then we're going to hear the meditation, Loving Yourself Through Change, completing with Richard Schulman, Allowing Heaven. I look forward to being with you again next week. Thank you and good night.
Teach me half the gladness that thy heart must know. such harmonious madness from my lips would flow. Oh, teach me half the gladness that thy heart must know. Such harmonious madness from my lips would flow. The world would listen then, as I am listening now. On the twinkling grass, rain awakened flowers, all that ever was joyous and clear and fresh. Thy music does encompass. Teach me half the gladness that thy heart must know. Such harmonious madness from my lips would flow. Oh, teach me half the gladness that thy heart must know. Such harmonious madness from my lips would flow. The world would listen then, as I am listening.
The reason that people do not move forward with change is because they are unwilling and unable to devote the time and energy required to meditate and focus their thoughts on a new energy and discoveries within themselves and stay with them until the change can have time to take form. It takes faith, trust, and determination to go into these fifth dimension energies and persevere. One of the most difficult experiences we all face looking back at our past is to understand where these beliefs, habits, and fears began. As we work to recognize these patterns, which we refer to as cleaning house, everything around you, including your thoughts, relationships, and emotions, often become messier and more complicated before they can be removed, healed, and resolved. It can be daunting for the most hardiest of souls when faced with what they may have to deal with as they begin to take a look at the repercussions and results of their past actions. Are you willing to ascend, to look completely at yourself on your journey to a higher level while wrestling with your ego? That ego who is always struggling to remain in control. As with anything that comes with great rewards, you need to be willing to look completely within yourself, and that requires the soul to open its heart and accept some painful responsibility for your actions. This brings you the reward of freedom, forgiveness, compassion, and understanding. Life is about how you handle each and every moment as you live. The outcome is not as important as the energy you put doing the walking of your path. The knowledge gained during your life walk puts out an energy, and the outcome is a result of that energy. So, sit in a deep chair, both feet flat on the floor, take some deep breaths. Open up the crown chakra and feel the light coming into your body and down your spine. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take another deep breath. Release the breath. Don't judge yourself for human imperfections. Be gentle with them. Living in the now is a joyous moment of awakening. Breathe in, Let the new energy fill you. Breathe out. Breathe in. Let the new energy fill you. Breathe out. Breathe in. Feel the light as it shines through your entire body, giving you strength, stamina, and faith. Breathe out. Remember, anything is possible for the divine. Ask your blessed higher self, how can I experience more of whatever it is that I need to learn right now? Then wait for your answer. And whatever your answer is, as you begin to act on it, just know this, you are living in the moment. Accepting change has to do with living in the moment. And now let yourself relax, breathing in and out, feeling good, feeling energized, feeling filled with the new energies of the fifth dimension. Anything is possible with the divine. Remember, anything is possible with the divine. Thank you.